Nyes back of the net for Tavares. Tavares coming out, sends it in a goal. They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Riley! Mo Riley! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
John Tavares is going to get credit for the goal. And at this point, who cares?
Who cares? Well, Ralphie, let me just do something here for you right now. Happy days are here again. The sky is blue and clear again. We will drink a cup of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
That's right, Joe.
Oh, baby. So I mentioned earlier, like, who's the person you're thinking about? When the Leafs finally did this, 19 years, who's the person that comes to mind? And I think the person that most comes to mind, the consensus, would be someone like Joe Bowen, a guy who's been calling Leaf games forever, been waiting for a moment just like this, and we've got Joe on the line now. Of course, Maple Leafs radio play-by-play announcer for Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So everyone's thinking about you, Joe. Who are you thinking about when the Leafs finally got a series victory after 19 years?
You know, once all the dust had cleared and everything, and I got out of the studio after calling the game and was driving home, The first person that came to mind was Boreas Almy.
Oh, that's really special.
I thought about that, and I thought about, you know, how what a tremendous individual he was, how brave he was to come back under the circumstances that he had, and to be showered with love and the ovation at center ice. That got me. I sat in the car for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes before I had actually had the car on before I left the parking lot. So that's what I was thinking about.
I'm sure you've been fielding texts and calls and emails since. Have you heard from anyone that's kind of stuck out to you as you've been digesting this series victory?
Well, it's amazing how many friends from high school and whatnot that are all of a sudden wanted to know what are the connections I might have for tickets.
Oh, so, it's about tickets?
Yeah, there's something that come out of the woodwork that you go, I haven't heard from this person in years. But anyway, it's good. It's my family and I, we got together yesterday to celebrate my son Sean's birthday to watch the Boston-Florida game. And, you know, that was exciting to be able to watch a Game 7 and all of that. I was hoping it was going to end up being a Mud Bruno Toe 6-overtime period marathon. But we did get the overtime. We just didn't get enough of it. But it's interesting that all of this has changed. And all of a sudden, over 24 hours, Stanley Cup champion is gone. Set a record for most wins and points and everything in a regular season are gone. And this tournament is up for grabs.
Well, Joe and I have talked about this off the air, but my mom's side of the family grew up in Sudbury, and they are connected. You know them. I hope none of them were messaging you from the woodwork way back when, Sudbury folk, the four far side, saying, "Oh, Joe, it's been a while. I'm Sophie."
They did phone, and I said, "Phone your daughter. He's got better connections than I do."
Well, the Sudbury folk are probably very fired up this morning. You've got a moment to call a lot of exciting and see a lot of exciting things in Leafs history, but this has got to be up in the top 1, 2, 3. How do you start to rank what you were able to see and witness there on Saturday night?
You know, gang, the Nicky Borishevsky goal in 93 ended a decade and well, 13 years or 12 years for me anyway, of this team has no chance. This franchise has no chance. The owner, ownership and the owner weren't going to spend the money or do what was required to really build a winner. But that was the cornerstone of the new Toronto Maple Leafs. And Cliff Fletcher had made the big trade, had spent the money. And that goal, I thought, kind of was the cornerstone. Now, we've gone, then we went to, you know, 10 years or so without making the playoffs. We got Austin Matthews when we completely bottomed out. And the growing pains of this young group have taken 6 years of frustration in the postseason. But now at least they have that under their belt, and that King Kong of a monkey is off their back. And now let's see what happens. So it's almost like another cornerstone, I suppose, of the franchise. And it's an opportunity here to go on a run. No guarantees, but they've certainly learned and then executed what had to be taught to them. Of how to close out a series and how to move on. And now we'll see what happens against a Florida team that obviously is just sky high after what they've done with the Boston Bruins.
So obviously, yeah, a tough challenge and no promises, but you're right. They removed the monkey off their back. And I wonder what you think this team will look like, if at all that much different, without having to think about their own personal battle, the battle within the team, the battle within the organization, and just focus on an opponent. Do you think that means and will liberate the Leafs in a massive way?
Just while you mentioned that, I sat and said, who the hell developed the idea of a monkey on your back? Anyway, I suppose that's somebody will figure that out.
You can do some research for game one and you'll have the answer.
You know what now? Well, you pick up the newspaper and you know what? They've done 10 games or 10 without being able to close out. Well, now they're 1-0. All of that narrative, all of that negativity, all of that should be shunted aside and put away. Now they're building on something else that's obviously much more positive. And I think that in that room, that's what it means. It's not kind of being reminded of this over and over and over again. Now, all of a sudden, they're 1-0 in closing out series. They're 1-0 in winning first-round series. So now this group, which is totally different from the last year's group and the group the year before and everything else, because of the changes that Kyle Dubas has made, have all of that moving forward on a positive note. And I think that's the biggest thing, and their minds are now set differently, and I think that's what we're looking forward to see how that encompasses. And a lot of people say, you know, if they got this quote unquote monkey off their back, it'd go right to their legs, their hands, and their minds. And we'll see if that happens tomorrow night. I think it will.
I wonder how extra special you think that, as you put it, the cornerstone moment, the monkey off the back, because it comes at the hands of the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, somebody that grew up with the pajamas and we saw it and everybody knows, and he's the $11 million man, and you know he doesn't have all of these big moments all season long, but he has it when it really matters. He propels his team to the second round. I wonder just how extra special you think that this means to this team, to him specifically, when you look forward at what this team can achieve when they look forward at the playoffs.
Well, you know, in a room, in a dressing room, you have 30 players, or, you know, that some are not playing or not, but they all have personalities and they all have a different idiosyncrasies. They have their way of going about getting prepared for a game and everything else. And you have a great deal of love for one another in that room. And you appreciate the efforts and the work ethic and everything else that each individual goes through in a totally different way. But then it all comes together on the ice. And when somebody like John Tavares, who has, as you mentioned, been a lifelong Leaf fan, came here, has taken the abuse of the Islander fans whenever he has gone back, to do this and to have that, I mean, you can't imagine what went through his mind and body when that puck deflected in off the defenseman's leg and he was the hero. And how much his teammates at that moment felt this is right. This is the way it should go. And I think that's probably something that he will cherish for all of his life. And now let's see if we can't have another bigger moment in the future.
It feels right that Morgan Rielly was a big part of that goal, applying the screen in front, because it's been
Man, he fooled me, the no good. I thought he scored, for crying out loud. At least that's when the camera panned. I thought it happened.
Doesn't matter who scored, Joe, it went in the net. A great thing, and it does feel appropriate that JT and Mo, because, you know, Mo's been there forever. JT made this decision, a lot of pressure on those guys, and they're kind of the elder statesman in a weird way with this team. But Morgan Rielly had a strange year. Like, it was it was a little tenuous. It was a little strange. People were starting to complain. There was grumblings about his performance and what it was going to mean for the next 7 years or however long he's going to be here. And he's transformed into the Morgan Riley that you thought you were investing long-term in throughout these playoffs. I don't want to say like you ever lost some faith in Morgan Riley, but how good has this reminder been that he is still an elite-level defenseman and elevating his game when it matters the most?
Well, and let's take a look at the other side of the ice. Being paired with Luke Shen is a lot like being paired with Ron Hainsey. Years ago when Morgan had his wonderful year that Mark Giordano beat him out for the Calder. But having said that, he's one of my favorite people on this team. He's a tremendous young man, a tremendous individual. He has that Leaf tattooed on various parts of his body, I'm sure. And to see him have the success that he had in the first round really kind of made you feel, you know, this is right. This is something special that is happening. But I think you have to really give a lot of credit to Luke Shen, who has played very well defensively. He's obviously a physical piece to the puzzle because he plays with such physicality, and he's allowed Morgan to do his thing. And, you know, shooting the puck and having it go in sometimes is just nothing but luck. You know, you get a screen, you get a tip, you get everything. And maybe Morgan didn't really have an awful lot of that in the regular season, but he has piled it up here in the postseason and playing very, very well. And that it goes to your mind, it goes to your hands. And he's doing exactly what we had hoped he was going to be able to do throughout the course of the season. But this is a pretty good time to have it get hot.
We got the voice of Joe Bowen, who you know and love, Maple Leafs radio play-by-play announcer at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So you've seen a lot of debut in your lifetime calling the Maple Leafs. Anything as impressive as what Matthew Nyes has been able to do, stepping in from college, three regular season games, and then being an actual impact player in the highest stakes environment for the Maple Leafs? He was on for a lot of these goals. He was also a contributor. He wasn't just a presence, but he did a lot more for this team. I think Ryan O'Reilly helped give him an opportunity at times, but just seeing this young kid come out there and play free and be an impactful forward for the Maple Leafs.
It's been great, hasn't it? I mean, he's been, he hasn't been a force, but he has been, as you say, a very good contributor. I can hardly wait for him to score a goal.
You'll be ready.
I think he's probably feeling a little bit of tenseness about that too, that I don't imagine he's gone this long in his career, maybe for college and everything else, without scoring a goal. So let's hope that the young man's not putting too much pressure on himself, but he's doing the little things. He's doing the things that the coaching staff can gain confidence in his play. And a lot of that is without the puck. Positioning, body work, getting the thing out of his own zone. And then on the offensive side, we're seeing that, he's a big body. He works the boards well. He makes little plays in tight and is very complimentary to any of the forwards that he happens to be playing with. So it's been a very nice addition. It's like Cole Caulfield coming to the Montreal Canadiens and playing such a big role for them when he came out of college as well. So we've seen a lot of collegiate players come to the National Hockey League, and the Leafs have signed a number of them. But this, certainly Matthew Nyes, has been as impactful as anyone could have possibly dreamt or hoped going through. But it was obvious that Sheldon Keefe and Dubas have looked at this young man and said, he can help us, and he can help us right now.
What struck you about Austin Matthews over the course of these six games, and maybe even after the game when he was kind of front and center with the celebration, the handshakes, and sort of the viral moments, giving the hug to his father? Did we see a step forward, considerable step forward, from Austin Matthews as a winning team hockey player?
And leader. I mean, John Tavares has the C on, and rightly so. But this is Austin Matthews' team. Let's not make any qualms about it. He's the guy that stirs the drink. He's the guy that's going to take the heat if he doesn't score and if they don't win. he's the guy that everybody looks to in tight situations, and he has embraced that. Sometimes it's overwhelming for a young man, and maybe during the first, you know, number of years that he was playing and they didn't have success, I'm sure that it weighed very heavily on him. But now, you know, again, there's that monkey going right out the front door. And so it'll be exciting to watch Matthews, how he expands throughout the course of the next round and how it works out. But it was, I've known his parents right from the very first day that he fired those four goals. We were in Ottawa, and after the game, we met his family in the hotel bar, and I was able to get the goal calls that we had of his first four downloaded onto my phone, and we sat there with a Crown Royal and Diet Coke going and listened to the four goals and had tears in their eyes and everything else. So I've had Emma and his dad, I've had a great relationship with, and so that's special. You know how much time parents put into their kids, and you can only imagine in Arizona what it cost them to have Austin play minor hockey, travel all over the states to get competition, and then to have it all come together and have this very special moment in Tampa the other night. That was very nice to see, very sweet to see, and very emotional.
Yeah, we talk about the players' reactions, Dubas's reaction, but then the parents too. I mean, they're wearing it just as much as, you know, fans and actual players of the team and executives. I mean, the nervous energy, the nerves, the amount of sweat that's been you know, poured through is just incredible, and the parents certainly front and center for that. So it is Florida, Joe, but does part of you wish it was Boston?
We talked about this with my family yesterday, and they let's hope it's Florida. I said, no, let's hope it's six overtimes and we get Boston and we can really slay the Dragon. You know what? It doesn't matter. You think about how Florida managed to come back from a 3-1 deficit. And the other thing it shows you guys is how good this league is. And I know the Leafs end up losing to Arizona in the regular season. How could you do that? I mean, really, how could you because the league is good. And right from top to bottom, any team can beat any team on any given night. And all you need to have is the confidence level to be there, the skill level, the work ethic, and lots of things happen. And it just shows you that that's a very big possibility. Colorado found out pretty quickly, too. So, it would have been nice, but we'll be happy with just being to the second round. And if they had to play a team from the moon, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
I hear they got a really good league up there, though. But
out of this world, even. So Sheldon Keefe, he obviously goes to the nuclear option. He goes 11-7. He tinkers big time, and it pays off. But he really just rides his big guys, and the big guys did come through in the end. But I wonder how you reset now as a head coach. Do you just go back to what you started with the four lines, with the guys who came out? Matthew Nyes, I'm sure, stays in. But how do you think Sheldon Keefe approaches a new challenge now ahead?
Well, don't tinker with what works. And Michael Bunting didn't get back into the lineup because they had won a couple of games in overtime, and the people who had got them there deserved the opportunity to try and finish the job. So I would be very surprised if they're not back to 11-7 again tomorrow night. Because you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I thought that Gustafson and Liljegren were both contributors on the night. And I think that their defense core probably needed a little bit of adjustment as far as ice time was concerned as well. So I would be very surprised. And then that one opening on the forward line allows you to tinker and to really produce some matchups for the opposing coach to wonder who's coming next and why is this guy on that line and what's going on here? Who's up next? That becomes a bit of a real chess game for the coaches. So I would be very surprised if it's not 11-7 again tomorrow night.
Well, you don't have to wait too long to get the answer to this, but round two at Scotiabank Arena, Maple Leafs fans kind of in uncharted waters. I mean, Jim Ralph put it very, very well when he said, what do we do now after your goal call? Because I think a lot of people have a lot of what are we living in? What is this universe? And now we're headed to Scotiabank Arena for round two already tomorrow night. What do you anticipate the crowd being like? And can the city survive a round two win? Because you saw people ripping down street signs and setting off fireworks in the streets. Like, I don't know what else can happen.
Well, it can get even more rowdy. I think the crowd is going to be very appreciative to start with. Let's salute the guys coming out onto the ice. It'll be rambunctious and rowdy and loud and involved. And I sincerely hope that it is proactive instead of reactive. Mm-hmm. I think our audience many times is the, okay, show me something and I'll cheer, instead of you're down a goal, get on our back and we'll see if we can get some energy into you. So I hope that as we go forward, that the crowd at Scotiabank Arena is more proactive. Help them out. Get behind them. Pump them up if things are going bad. And when things are going good, celebrate the way you should celebrate. Don't walk out of the building with a voice.
I love that. Well, we're looking forward to hearing you, hopefully for some more games down the road here, Joe. We were happy for you. I'm glad you got that moment to appreciate it. And I love that you thought of Boreas Salming too, because that's a really special connection. And this year feels like maybe the Maple Leafs have something written in the stars as well. So appreciate you joining us this morning. Enjoy round two and we'll chat with you soon.
Thanks, guys. A pleasure.
Chat soon. Joe Bowen, Maple Leafs radio play-by-play announcer at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I loved the what do we do now, Jim Ralph. Just a moment of like, oh, and I think a lot of Leafs fans felt that this is really happening. You wake up in the morning, you rewatch all the videos again just to say, this isn't a dream. They won. They're in the second round. Let's go back and live in the moment, listen to the calls, the lightning in the bottle by CeCe. He's got that one ready to go. Mm. Everybody felt just a really special moment, and you saw it out on the streets as well. Joe Bowen says it can get bigger and better. Let's see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of what do I do with my hands, right? Like, what what is this going to feel like? What is it going to be like returning for the second round, sizing up a new opponent? I guess we actually have to do some work on the Florida Panthers tonight and tee up this series tomorrow. Like, it's a completely different vibe, because usually at this time, and again, like the schedule with COVID kind of, but we're in May and the Leafs are going to be playing hockey because they won a round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So a completely different experience for everyone. Might have to pace ourselves a little bit, though, because things are setting up to be pretty good. Setting up nicely.
I got a couple texts I want to read here before we take a break. We have Patrick Marleau joining us to wrap up the show. Leslie from Scarborough, she texts in quite often. It's amazing to hear Joe this morning. I know for a fact my dad is listening up in heaven. My dad and I would listen to the radio all the time when he was alive. Awesome job. Holy Mackinac. She said, happy Monday. What an amazing feeling this morning. So proud of our team and well done to Leafs Nation. I think there's a lot of people excited, appreciative of the moment and what it took to get here. We did ask, like, how did you celebrate? What was the moment like for you? We had some messages in about that. My best friend is a Leafs fan. I'm a Habs fan. We've had some good jabs back and forth over the years. I texted him with 9 minutes left when it was 1-1 and said, Tavares will get the winner. Ooh. He texted me back and said, you called it.
Nice.
There's some questions about the Leafs have the Bruins draft pick. Do they not? We'll have to figure out how that changes
they
now.
They do. I mean, it'll be in the top 28, we'll call it that.
Well,
it'll be 28th overall, right?
Yeah.
Because I think the conference finalists go last, the four last picks. So the Leafs, in addition to going to the second round, improve their draft standing.
Hey, it's a win.
Just a little bit.
I listen to your show here in Newfoundland, and my person to watch with is my son, but he's in Calgary. We watch lots of times on FaceTime together. We pull our hair out when the Leafs lose, and now he's the one I like to watch with.
That's what it's all about.
Here we go. I want to know why Justin isn't holding up his end of the Twitter blue lipstick contract that he clearly entered in, Allison in Toronto, who is a lawyer.
It felt like to me that it was a job for two people in media, but I've seen two people wear the lipstick, so I guess I got off scot-free.
Interesting. A couple more here before we take a break. Dave in Etobicoke. My mother has been in the hospital all season for the first time in a little more than 9 months. She's excited and is looking forward to watching more. She's the reason I'm a diehard fan. It's destiny. Thank you, Dave in Etobicoke. Well, thinking the best for you, and hopefully this gives the positive energy that everybody needs.
No one pulling for the tarot reading?
Oh, I can read some of those if you'd like. One more here. Not to be superstitious, but I think they might have won when Dubas was sitting beside Spezza. Can't say for sure. And I think that we brought this up when they lost in game five, that there was no Spezza to be found. But where was he game
That's
six?
True.
Right beside him. And it was almost like they didn't know if they should hug or like bump each other. There was so much pent up energy
Spezza
in there.
Spezza was a little composed. I thought he was going to lose it.
Oh, it was good. As a Sabres fan, but I feel happy for Leafs fans. That's Bruce in Penetanguishene. Thank you, Bruce. Oh, good morning, Vito from Etobicoke. Funniest moment was after Tavares scored, Dubas and Spezza not knowing if they should hug or not. Awkward for a second. Andrew Muskoka. With the Leafs breaking through and the Panthers eliminating the Leafs and the other ghosts along the way with the Avs getting bounced, it could become the most exciting playoffs in recent memory. This really has become an any team can take it, and this will be great hockey. Messages in at 590-590. We will make sure we get to as many as we can before we wrap up the show, but we want to get to Patrick Marleau on the other side of the break, former NHL forward, of course, 7x30 goal scorer. Wow. And spent 2 years with the Leafs, as we know, from 2017 to 2019. His besties with some of the young kids who he watched and maybe helped shelter and bring into their role, helped formulate them into the stars that they are. He obviously has played a lot of hockey, and he knows what it's like to be a veteran in a locker room and maybe what it felt like for some of these Maple Leafs on Saturday night. We'll get his thoughts and feelings, and maybe if this is the monkey off the back moment that we've been, you know, kind of bouncing around, and Bonesy put it too, like, what does that mean for the Maple Leafs? Patrick Marleau joins us on the other side of the break. We'll get to a little baby wake and rake as well, so you can send those picks in at 590-590. That's all next on the Fan Morning Show.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Maple Leafs off to round two.
It's
different.
Real.
This
it's
song hits
real,
different when you're going
Justin.
To round two.
It's a real... A real day in the real world.
The celebration song of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know the name of it. Do you know the name of this song?
I do.
For those podcasting?
Right back where we started from. Shout out to Josh, who just told me in my ear. I'm not going to lie.
Go. It's a song our next guest has heard many a times, been a part of many Leaf victories over his 2 years with the club between 2017 and 2019. That's Patrick Marleau, one of the NHL's Iron Men. 7-time 30-goal scorer, former San Jose Shark, former Toronto Maple Leaf. Good morning, Patrick. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So we got to ask about, you know, the scene at the Marleau residence last night, because we know that your boys are big, big fans of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Were the vibes, like, at an all-time high watching, I guess it was not last night, over the weekend, Saturday night, watching the Maple Leafs finally get past round one and dispose of the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Oh yeah, it was great. We were actually at some hockey for my boys too. So we were all over at the teammate's house and we're watching the game. So it was great to see the boys finally get to that second round.
So we know, and we would talk about it forever, right? This getting past the first round has been this bugaboo, this thing that this organization's been dealing with for quite some time. You know, predating your arrival in Toronto. So now that it has happened, what do you think it will do for your former teammates? What does this mean for the organization getting past round one and the prospects of having more success in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I think it just gives them confidence and, you know, belief in themselves that, you know, all that hard work that they put in, you know, finally they came out on top and, you know, something they can build off going forward. So it's such a great thing for them and for the team.
We've talked about building on things moving forward and how real that monkey off the back might be for the Maple Leafs. I know it's something you probably haven't been in a 19-year drought where you've had the monkey off your back, but even just going through a losing streak or going through hurdles as a team and the trials and tribulations of being a Leaf, what do you think this could mean for the Maple Leafs? Do you think there'll be a release and a now anything is in our grasp, like the sky is the limit that they might be able to ride here into round two?
yeah, I think that's the, you know, the way you got to be looking at it, the way, you know, the players got to be feeling, you know, they got to be feeling confident about themselves, feeling good. And then, like, as soon as you, you know, you get past that first round, you get, you know, one more round, and it's just a battle after battle. But, you know, having gone through it, having got that monkey off their back, that they don't have that in their mind. They're now it's just you kind of laser in focus on that next round and what you need to do to win that round.
So your friends, Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner, they kind of wear a lot of the pressure that's been on the organization, the 19 years, the 0-for-10 in elimination games. Like, it's kind of falls on their shoulders. What makes them, you know, prepared to deal with that stress? Like, we've had like a lot of fans, a lot of media skeptics that they were able to do that. They finally have now. But what is it about those two guys that gives you confidence that they are the right two players to be front and center leading this organization to the promised land?
Well, first and foremost, they're going to do everything in their power to have their game going and win and be best teammates and do whatever they can to help the team win. I think that's what you need from your leaders. And they, you know, they go out there night in and night out, giving it their all. And obviously they're the highly skilled players, so they make the plays at the right times. They're out there in the key minutes, but you know, they're just going out there and playing as hard as they can. I mean, they're so skilled. They're such great players, and it shows night in and night out. And then you got, you know, the supporting cast around them, just helping them out. And it takes everybody, but you know, when you got those two guys going and leading the way, it trickles down.
When you were a member of the Maple Leafs, they were still young. I mean, they're still young, but they were much younger, and you got to be a part of their growth. And now as friends post playing together, I'm sure you see their growth as well. Where did you see the maturity from Matthews and Marner and what they went through in their few seasons with you? And then now when you catch up and you see them when you're on the road, or when you get an opportunity, to the growth that they've made as individuals, as teammates, and as athletes?
Yeah, I mean, when I was there already, they were pretty mature beyond their years. So it was great to see, but usually see that in the higher end players. So I think it's just the way they handle themselves. I think having been in the league for as many years that they have now, it's all, you know, basically comes routine. It's not, nothing's new. I mean, nothing's really new thrown at them that they can't handle. So I think that's the biggest thing, just having the confidence of, if anything's thrown at us tonight or throughout this season, that you know, we have the support cast and we have everybody around us that we can handle it.
It was a bit of a difficult season for Morgan Rielly, but the love affair has certainly been rekindled between a fan base and one of the guys who is most representative of this club, the struggles of this club, the hope for this club. I mean, Morgan Rielly kind of wears it all. In your mind, what does he mean to the Maple Leafs organization?
Well, obviously, yeah, he's been there longest, so he's gone through the, you know, more of the ups and downs than everybody else. But you know, it means a lot for him to, you know, get that first round. Obviously, been there the longest. But yeah, same thing with him. I mean, he's the leader out there. That back end, he you know, commands the puck and moves the puck so well, skates well, and he's you know, had tremendous playoffs already. So it's great to see him back to that form. And they're going to need him going forward, and I know he's up to the challenge.
It was an interesting series with Tampa Bay because, you know, I think the way a lot of people expected the Maple Leafs to finally win would be just overwhelming an opponent, just being so clearly better that, you know, maybe past torment or different issues with the team wouldn't apply. They would just be so much better than the opposition. But against Tampa Bay through six games, you could make the argument that Tampa was 5-on-5, even just the run of play, the slightly better team, and that the Maple Leafs just found a way to win. And it was kind of a reminder, right, of how thin or how fine the line is between winning and losing. Is this series most representative of that in your eyes? Like, you've been through so many great series, so many tight series, and sometimes it's just like, you know, 50-50 and it goes one way. Was this sort of a reminder of that, and that, you know, there's still a job to do for the Maple Leafs here, but like, past failure has been built up way more than it probably should have been?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, but I think now that they've got that feeling of what it takes to win a series and how to, you know, if things aren't going well, or if you're, you know, getting hemmed in your own zone, how can you, you know, weather that storm and still try and, you know, when you do get your chance, take advantage of it. So, I mean, that's kind of how, you know, like you said, the series went, and they found a way, you know, and it wasn't the way everybody thought it was, but it doesn't matter. They found a way so they can, you know, maybe win a different way this next round too. So being able to win in a bunch of different ways throughout the playoffs will help them go far.
So a lot of time it's about like what a loss teaches you, right? In this case, is it maybe what a win teaches the Maple Leafs? Will this be as instructive as past failure?
I think so. I think you can look at it that way. I think you always got to try and find, you know, the lesson in any series or any game. And that'd be great for them. Like, you know, if we're under pressure, you know, they're taking that to us, that we can just hold off and get our feet going and get it back in their end and get that one or two chances. You know, the game's still up for grabs, and I think they proved that to themselves. And you know, maybe they'll know how to, you know, stop those onslaughts from the other team a lot quicker, so they can be the one, you know, tilting the ice in the other direction.
We're speaking with Patrick Marleau, former NHL forward, spent two years with the Leafs from 2017 to 2019 in an extensive career in the NHL. Now, I wonder, we talk a lot about adding a veteran presence to a locker room, especially the trade deadline, and adding somebody who has been around the block, who's been in every type of locker room, who's won, who's lost, and who's gone through the ups and downs. Now, you were a part of that role with the Maple Leafs, and I wonder if you look at what being a veteran means to a team. Like, what is the absolute level of impact that you think that can bring? Is there something that you try to teach or instill into the young minds? Is it just like having mental fortitude, having a presence, a professionalism to it? What does adding a vet mean to a team that has big aspirations, especially the Maple Leafs?
I think you bring in a guy like that, and you see the young guys around the room, or at least the smarter young guys, they'll be watching. We're watching him, watching how he handles himself, the things he'll say in the locker room, the things he does on the ice. Just having a guy who's gone through it, I think it kind of has a calming effect on the other guys in the dressing room. Like, he's been there, he's done that. Look how he's handling himself. You know, look at what he's talking about. These are the key things that, you know, we need to do at this time to win games. So it's a huge factor on the ice and in the locker room. That I think that it was a great pickup by Toronto.
Is it hard being that guy? Like, it was a bit of a different situation with you, came over in free agency, start fresh, training camp, and so on and so forth. But thinking about Ryan O'Reilly and being like, you know, how hard is it to use your voice when you're coming into an established locker room that already has a leadership in place, already has a captain, already has, you know, people who could easily be the captain of this team as well? And we were talking about how much of a challenge that might have been, and then it just seemed like he was such a calming influence early on. Is it not, it's not necessarily about what you're saying and being rah-rah, but just the way that he handled his responsibility, whether it's talking to the media or just preparing himself. Like, I do wonder about the challenge, and again, it's different for you, but is there pressure to, like, oh, I got to be the fix here, and how much of a burden that might be?
I don't think, you know, you come in thinking like, oh, I got to be the fix or anything. I think as a player, when you're brought in, for what you've been doing for your whole career, what they would see you can do for their team. So as far as I think what a player would do coming into a situation like that would be like, okay, you kind of read the room. You see, you know, who's talking, who's doing this, who's doing that. But ultimately, just being a good teammate and, you know, being a good leader is what's going to come out. And I think that's what O'Reilly has in spades. And, you know, just being a good teammate, being a good professional, that all that stuff rubs off on teammates, and they notice that.
You've been around these guys to know what they're like when we don't see behind closed doors, the energy, the excitement that they do have. Who would have been the most fun to celebrate with on a Saturday night? Is Mitch Marner the pick, because he's a guy that he likes the gritty, he's got the dance moves. I think that he's probably the easy option, but is there someone that might surprise us that would have been really fun to see just enjoy the moment on Saturday night?
Yeah, you got Mitchy pegged. let's see.
Tavares would have let loose a bit, or he's sitting in the stall, like visualizing next round.
I think they're they're pretty focused on the next round already. your gears switch pretty quick, but obviously you take the series win, enjoy it for a little bit, but obviously it's right. Their focus is already on the next series. But I think maybe I'll throw Willie Nylander there. We'll see what he's got.
Okay, so Willie would be excited, but we'll save all the grittying to Mitch Marner. I don't know if there's been text messages back and forth between you and Austin and you and Mitch, and of course you don't have to divulge that. But if you had advice now that this chapter is closed where they could not win, what advice would you have for your friends about approaching round two and, readjusting expectations and goals?
I think they just got to keep building. I think that's got to be their mindset. They got to, get ready for the next opponent and go over all the systems, where the players are going to be on the power play. They got to do all their preparation and then just keep building. Once you get that one win, you can kind of, get on a roll and just ride that as far as you can.
Well, appreciate you jumping on and getting a perspective of someone that's been in the room, knows the guys well, and obviously has a vested interest in seeing them get some success down the road. Great to chat with you and hopefully get a chance a little further down in the playoffs.
Oh, sounds great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
That's Patrick Marleau, former NHL forward and a former Maple Leaf as well, who knows the guys real well and definitely had a little celebration for them, I'm sure, after Saturday night's win.
Yeah, I think some of the biggest Leaf fans going are Patrick Marleau's kids, at least with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. So I'm sure this is a long run. We'll see the Marleaus at some point. I just wanted to bring something to our listeners' attention and your attention as well.
Okay.
There's already a little gamesmanship happening between the Florida Panthers and Toronto Maple Leafs, but it has to do with the ticket brokers. So this tweet from Mark Schaeg, I believe, who writes about the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay.
Tweets this. Tickets for Game 3 and 4 at FLA Live Arena go on sale at 11 a.m. this morning. But with one catch, the Panthers are restricting sales of tickets to only residents of the United States based on credit card billing address. Outside of the U.S., orders will be canceled without notice. So,
wow!
If you were preparing and shopping for flights down to Fort Lauderdale, make it a weekend now that it's going to be home games during the week. If you go out and buy a ticket, you might be sorely disappointed. You might be watching from a local bar.
That's shady.
I will say, though, there's so many Canadians and so many, what are the snowbirds?
Yeah, snowbirds.
Snowbirds hanging out in Florida. I mean, you probably have an American credit card if you have an address down there.
Man, I'd be jumping over the border to Buffalo, opening a bank account at Bank of America.
You might have to do that.
Putting $500 in it and buying tickets and jumping back over the border. But this takes a couple hours?
I don't know if it'll be that simple. I don't know if I'm running to the border to do that because...
I had a bank account when I went to school in the States. I think I still have... I probably should figure this out.
Is it connected to what address, though? Would it be, your parents' house when
no,
you left?
No, it was... I think it's still address in Hanover, New Hampshire.
Your sorority? Well, if it is, then you might be in luck.
Hey, I might have to take a look at that. I definitely still have... I still get emails from them. You can't unsubscribe from Bank of America. They got you hooked. I'll take a look.
That's one of the keys of the series, though. And I think it's a smart thing for Florida to be doing.
Are you
because,
allowed to do that?
Well, we've seen stories about this before, but this could be every game a home game for the Leafs. I mean, they could fill up that barn with snowbirds alone, and it's on them now if we can't have people flying down to Florida to get into the building. But it might be cheaper if there weren't rules to fly to Florida, go to the game, than going to a single game at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
I think undoubtedly it would be cheaper. I'm going to look quickly. Fort Lauderdale, Toronto. Let's say you want to go, this weekend? Was that when the games would be?
Yes, yeah, Saturday. Game 3 should be Saturday.
You want to go Thursday? Thursday?
Sure.
You want to come back, I don't know, Monday?
Well, you got to go to both games, and that would be Tuesday probably. Monday. So
I'm
you come home Tuesday.
I'm seeing some round trips, 350, 340.
So, 100%, you could save money by going to Florida.
if you can.
But you have to make sure you can secure tickets. You need a family or friend in Florida or in the United States.
This is where resale is going to be crazy. Like, if you're listening from Florida, you buy five, six tickets.
You might need to bring your passport to the rink to get in.
No way. They're going to ask your passport at the door.
I've had that issue in a foreign country before. Foreign country being Italy. Not that it was, like, you know, way off the grid.
A little different.
But they're sometimes a bit stingy.
But the people that scalp tickets are going to be looking for anyone in a Leafs jersey that could not buy tickets from Ontario or Canada in general.
So just find a way, because this is a big part of this series. If you can make every game a home game, it would be a massive, massive benefit to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So this story is ongoing.
Okay, we have time for a baby wake and rake, and let's start that now.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, I'm not overthinking it. One of the hottest teams in baseball. One of the hottest cities in the world right now. Toronto. What's a city that is suffering right now? Boston. Toronto Blue Jays on the money line against the Boston Red Sox, starting a series on the road.
Jose Barrios on the mound?
Yep, let's do it. Just simple. Toronto Blue Jays. 7:10 first pitch. I'll be watching that, and I want to see the Blue Jays. They had a great weekend. A tough loss last night, yesterday afternoon.
Could have been a glorious.
Nonetheless,
weekend.
They are a red hot team.
Should have been a glorious
against
weekend.
The Red Sox. So go, Blue Jays in money line and straight up money line.
There you go. Rangers over 2.5 goals -125. Game 7. Jersey and the Rangers. A huge, huge game. A huge game south of the border for hockey. I think the Rangers show up. I'm going to leave room for them potentially losing the game in a high-scoring affair. But Akira Schmid, he can't keep the door shut forever. So the Rangers through. They score 3+, and we cash our 125.
Okay, couple submissions here to go through. Great Monday morning. Jules and I will say, not only are you wearing the blue lipstick because the Leafs won, but also because the Warriors won, too. What an amazing weekend to be a Leafs and Warriors fan. Aw. Steph with a performance for the ages. 50 points to set up a classic with LeBron. For today's anchor, I'll go with the Suns to bounce back and cover 4.5 points. Jules is so happy she'll take the Jays on the money line. Yes. Jules and I always have the same brain.
An all-time quote from Steph Curry, too. You see what he was asked?
What'd he say?
He was asked, who can stop Steph Curry? And he's just like, hopefully we'll never find out. next one. I'm not sure if you guys ever included on these, but try the no-run first innings.
Oh, yes.
The Nerfy, I
did that
called?
Once and we lost big time.
Six outs to glory. they have the Nerfy in Atlanta and the New York Mets at -110. That's Cody and St. Kitts.
Okay. Prosciutto Poppy back after a massive weekend. I'll be laying down a three-figure wager on the Nuggets money line. Also doubling down and laying a three-figure wager on pairing the Celtics with the Nuggets at -110. Picks have been sent to Ailish to prove I walked the talk. Yes, he does send me them, and I'm always like, damn, all right.
Yeah, Prosciutto Poppy's done some, it's peacocking Poppy lately.
I think
lately.
We go with Prosciutto Poppy.
What's he got? There's two picks there, no?
Did he not say Nuggets on the money line? Ooh, it's...
Oh, sorry, pairing the Celtics. Yeah, Nuggets money line.
But
let's
it's -186.
Okay, no, that's not...
Yeah. So, we're going to do that?
Let's just...
Because somebody else has Suns the cover, so this is tough. Now we're in a dilemma.
This is tough. We got to go to Nerfy. Nerfy.
Okay, Nerfy in what was the game again?
The Atlanta Braves and New York Mets.
Okay, no runs, first inning. Parlay that with Blue Jays money line and over 2.5 goals by the Rangers tonight in Game 7. You parlay that together, it's +505.
Huge. Love it.
Perfect. Well, everyone, thanks for calling in today. What a wonderful way to kick off our week. Maple Leafs are in the second round. That starts tomorrow.
We are teeing up round two for the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow.
You better believe it. All right, we'll be on the air to tee all that up. We'll have your calls later on this week. We'll keep doing that. We love hearing from you. Tonight, Blue Jays start their series against the Red Sox. 7:10 first pitch. We'll be back to break it all down tomorrow and tee up a huge day in the city of Toronto.